guys, it's Eric RPG, and I'm back with another review for you. And it's actually a twofer, because you might as well have put them together, because they're essentially the same game, even though they've got completely different storylines and some new gameplay elements in the second game. But this is Marvel's Spider-Man for the PS4 and PS5, and Spider-Man Miles Morales for, or rather, Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales for the PS4 and PS5 as well. And these are Insomniac's first superhero games, and probably the first licensed game I think I've seen them do, at least in some time. I'm not sure about what they've done in the past, prior to doing Ratchet and Clank, but this is a review for the PS5 versions of each of these games specifically. And on that note, you could only play the PS5 version of Spider-Man, Marvel Spider-Man Remastered, through purchasing the Ultimate Edition of the Miles Morales release, or the Deluxe Digital Edition on the Sony storefront. But I'm not sure if they still make or have physical copies of that game if you want that, so that's something to consider. But this game is an open-world action RPG. I say that because you gain levels and there are skill trees, and so it's good enough for an RPG description for me. But it is an open-world-ish type of game, because there's lots of open-world busy work type of stuff, and unlike other open worlds, I don't mind, because you're doing normal Spider-Man things like stopping random crimes, and or in this game, you can do extra objectives like raid bases or do side missions, or helping out Harry with his research projects, or if you want to do the whole GTA collectible thing, you can go collect those, kind of like the feathers from Assassin's Creed, but less annoying, because there aren't nearly as many. And doing these gets you tokens, which have very different types, in the, at least in this version of the game. In Miles Morales, they changed it to just a single token type, and there aren't as many, so not to worry about having to do a majority of tasks. But, like, when it comes to doing certain tasks, there are bonus objectives you can do to get extra tokens, and these tokens are then used to either buy upgrades, make new gadgets, upgrade those, or get suit mods, or what you really want to do, spend them on first, are the suits themselves, because each suit has a special web power that lets you do very certain things. Although, in my opinion, if you're playing on difficulties that aren't high, all you really need is Web Blossom, because it just destroys everything, and like, it's really good for clearing out rooms, and if you don't want to worry about clearing the bonus objectives all the time, you just want to grind out some extra experience, that's what it's good for. But like, if you're a more combat-focused person, or like having a spider drone help you, there's always other options you could choose. But that's what I did. It's kind of a shame, though, because like, once you find something that works, you might not use the other one, so that's kind of a damper on the game's play design. But the story is actually pretty good, and it's actually kind of like three movies rolled into one, because there's three acts. It starts off with you taking on Fisk, but then it becomes a plot about trying to stop Negative Man, and then Dr. Octopus, who recruits this rest of the Sinister Six, and you have to take care of them at the end of the game. It's not really a spoiler, though, because the game kind of spoils itself, because it shows you icons of them, like, right after the intro, so I can't say I spoiled it for you, because the game's going to spoil it for you. But I have told you which of the Sinister Six, or which of the people comprise the Sinister Six, other than the ones I've already mentioned. But you can take a guess as to what most of them are going to be, though. Some of them were kind of out of left field because the original Sinister Sticks isn't what this team is. And their motivations are different for this in-game universe story. But, anyways, I really like the gameplay. It plays a mixture of, kind of like a mixture of Arkham City games as well as the Assassin's Creed games. But I think it does a better job than either of them. And Spider-Man is just a really fun character to play as. And the only thing I don't really care about is his Spider-Copper team, which thankfully doesn't last very long, although it does kind of resurface. And if you want more story after the main game, you can always do the DLC, which is included in a remaster release. But personally, I didn't find that story all that interesting. It does tie up a couple loose ends, so it's kind of worth it for that, but thankfully they're not too long. So if you're still interested after what I've told you, it's kind of worth checking out, but it's mainly about a mob war, which then escalates into finding one of the mob bosses who got a hold of technology from one of the factions that you have to deal with in the main game. And they're superpowered now, so they're kind of turned into a cyborg. And by cyborg, I mean like the DC cyborg. He's kind of big and bulky and has a big laser. He's kind of like him. So that's that DLC. But as far as Miles Morales goes, it's a much better game in my opinion by design, because they obviously learned to cue the flaws, and instead of having web powers, you have different moves you can do that relate to Miles' web powers, or his venom powers, which is his electroshock abilities. And they manifest in the form of doing a big punch, which breaks guards, and a dash, which does a few nice, powerful, quick hits and closes the gap between opponents. And there's also the venom jump, which suspends enemies in the air so you can just beat on them for a while. And there's the mega venom blast, which just he absorbs a lot of electricity and just discharges it all at once. But you'll get them in certain parts of the story. But those abilities are really fun to mess with, and it really makes him feel like a very different character compared to Peter's character in the remaster release of the original game. I really like the story of and character of Miles, because like I said, he doesn't do any of that Spider-Cop nonsense, and you get to see what a Spider-Man is like from a 17-year-old kid's perspective, rather than a grown man. While the grown man stuff might be relatable, but I think Spider-Man should just be a teenager, so it's refreshing in that respect. And while I didn't think the villain's particularly strong, I did like the story behind that villain and the relationship to Miles. And the challenges are actually much better because there's few of them, and you don't have to feel like you need to get the ultimate rank, because, like I said, the tokens have been reduced to a single type, and you don't need as many of them to get all the suits. And like, if you're going for the platinum, it's a much easier time than the first game was, and it's less grindier for that reason, because the level cap's also stuck at 20, and it only gets raised after you do a new game plus, which you need to do and beat in order to get the new game plus achievement. So you also have to get through the game twice, so that's kind of unfortunate, unlike the original. But like I said, the game's short enough that doesn't really matter anyway. And the only knock on it I could give over the original is that because it's so short, I was left feeling one more, but thankfully there is going to be Marvel's Spider-Man 2 coming out probably next year if it doesn't get delayed by a significant amount. But that's something to look forward to. But as far as individual scores I'd give these games, I'd probably give Marvel's Spider-Man a 9.5, and I'd give Miles Morales also a 9.5. So, if you're really into Spider-Man and want to play a really fun superhero game, be sure to check these out, especially on the PS5, and play in performance mode and have 60 frames per second, which is really nice. But if you don't really care about frame rate and you want to see how good ray tracing looks, you can always turn ray tracing on, because that's an option that exists in that. And fairly recently, they added VRR support. So if your TV has 120Hz and also has VRR support, you should probably turn that on to help improve performance and stability with the performance, so there's less hangups and screen tearing. But not that I really experienced any, but if you're playing on a higher frame rate, that might happen, so that's good to know. But with that, I'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.